So we're on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and we're up to Rav Shimon ben Eliakim. So let's see if we can find the place. If you count down, I would say about four lines from the top of Daf Lamed Amud Beis, four lines down. The Gemara is now trying to clarify the halacha in the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon, Rav Yeshua ben Karchami. So let's just review what the machlokas is so we know where we're coming from. And this is the Gemara on Omid Aleph. And the Gemara said the following, that according to the Tanakhama, Edim can only testify if they see the Maisa Ke'echad. They both have to see the Maisa together, so that both Reuven and Shimon saw the Halva, and they're testifying on the Halva. That was what we call it Tziruf Re'iyah. And the Gemara says that the Tanakhama derives this from a pasuk. It says, "V'hu Eid." And this word aid is a reference to two witnesses, but the Torah went out of its way to use the singular Afki Rachman Blashachad in order to teach us Adachazu Travayu Ke'echad, until they both see the testimony like one, meaning together. That's the Tanakhama. Then we have Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Filu Bozacher Zeh, that even if they see it bazecher zeh, they didn't see it together, we could be mitzaref the two witnesses together. And we're not sure exactly where the words of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha end and where the brisa takes over. Let's suggest the following, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha just simply disagrees with the Chachamim, and he doesn't require Tziruf Re'iyah. As far as Tziruf Hagadah is concerned, the Braisa is like a new part of the Braisa. And it says, Ein Edusam is Kayemus Beznat She'idu Shneim Ke'echad. They have to testify together. We need Tziruf Hagadah. That's not part of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's words. That's already the Tanakhama. And then Rabbi Nosson says, Shomim Dvarim Shal Zayom Ukshabach Aver Lemacher Shomim Es Dvarav. We don't need Tziruf Hagadah. So the sort of the unclear middle piece of the puzzle is, what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha say about the Seifa? Meaning, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says you don't need Tziruf Re'iyah, but we're not sure exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's position is as far as Tziruf Hagadah is concerned, because the next part of the Braisa says, Ein Edusam is Kayemus V'Beznat She'idu Shneim Ke'echad, and we need Tziruf Hagadah. Does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha accept that position? Or perhaps, does he accept the position of Rabbi Nosson? Rabbi Nosson says that we don't need Tziruf Hagadah. So we're not sure about Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Because again, these words, that's what I wanted to emphasize, which I didn't have yesterday, these words in the Braisa, Ein Edusam Es Kayemus V'Beznat She'idu Shneim Ke'echad, we need Tziruf Hagadah, those are not the words of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. It could be very possible that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha himself doesn't require Tziruf Hagadah as well, meaning he might agree with Rabbi Nosson as far as the question of Tziruf Hagadah is concerned. So again, what we have here is a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha about whether we require Tziruf Re'iyah. We have machlokas between, again, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosson about whether we require Tziruf Hagadah. But we don't know where Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha holds as far as Tziruf Hagadah. We know that he rejects the requirement of Tziruf Re'iyah. Does he accept the Tanakhama of the Sefer requiring Tziruf Hagadah, or does he hold like Rabbi Nosson that you don't need Tziruf Hagadah, which would mean that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha doesn't require neither Tziruf Re'iyah nor Tziruf Hagadah? Now, the Tanakhama says that we need Sir Freya because it says, Vahu Eid, right? Which means, in the language of the Gemara, it means Ad Chazu Chavayo Kechad. They saw it together. And then, if you recall, the Gemara says that the Tanakhama has a hekesh between Re'iyah and Haggadah. And if in Re'iyah you require Tzirif Re'iyah, then in Haggadah likewise you require Tzirif Haggadah. We don't know where Rabbi Yishuv ben Karach would hold on that position. In other words, if he drops the requirement of Tzirif Re'iyah, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karach, and that's explicit, would we say therefore Haggadah is equated to Re'iyah based on a Hekesh? And just like in Re'iyah we have no requirement of Tzirif Haggadah, of Tzirif Edus, so too in Haggadah we don't have a requirement of Tzirif. So that's what I think this Gemara of Rav Shimon ben Eliakim that we want to study today is all about. So do we have the place here? Rav Shimon ben Eliakim? Mm-hmm. Rav Shimon ben Eliakim, Hayim Mishtakid. Now the word Mishtakid means, in the Hebrew translation, Mitzape Umechazer Veshoked. In other words, he was really trying to figure out and analyze, and he was hoping that he would come up after a lot of work, maybe he would figure out exactly what the opinion, what the halach is like here. Now, before we get to the halach itself, which is going to be the Hemshech HaSugya, let me say a few words about smicha. You know, back in the day, at the time of the Tanoim and Amoraim, there was an institution called smicha. It's not the smicha that we know of today. The smicha of those days was an unbroken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was amongst the last of the Tanoim / Amoraim, that period of time, that transition between the Tanoim, who had smicha. And once you have smicha, you could confer smicha on someone else. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim was also a musmach, he also had smicha. And what happens is that if you want to give smicha to someone else, then first of all you have to find that person, you have to give him smicha, and then you also should be testing him to see if he knows his beans. Now, there was another Amora, or perhaps a Tana, we're not sure, but let's say he was an Amora, by the name of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, who we said was a musmach, wanted to confer smicha on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. And if he himself could not confer smicha, then maybe he would find someone else who would confer smicha. So again, let's just summarize A, B, and C. A is Rav Shimon ben Eliakim wants to give smicha to Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. B, he was not able to do so. Why is that? Maybe because Rav Shimon ben Eliakim was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, and even if Rav Shimon ben Eliakim himself had smicha, he would need permission from his Rebbe to confer smicha. And he didn't have the opportunity to, shall we say, influence Rabbi Yochanan to give smicha to Rabbi Yossi. Perhaps Rabbi Yochanan was avoiding it. Maybe he didn't feel that Rabbi Yossi was up to par. So now point number three is that Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim is working very hard to see if somehow he can orchestrate things in such a way that Rabbi Yochanan would test Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi would pass the test, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan would confer smicha on Rabbi Yossi. In other words, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim was convinced that Rabbi Yossi was smicha material, meaning he was roy to receive smicha. he couldn't do so. Rav Shimon couldn't confer smich on Rav Yossi because he needed to get his Rebbe, that's Rav Yochanan, on board. So Rav Yochanan ultimately would be the final decisor as to whether or not Rav Yossi would get smicha. Now, this story that we're about to learn about is an opportune moment in which Rav Shimon finally felt he can convince or persuade Rav Yochanan to confer smicha on Rav Yossi. Yom Achada, one day, Havi Yosef Kami to Rav Yochanan. In other words, Rav Shimon Ben Eliakim was sitting in front of Rav Yochanan. Now, Havi Yasvi, according to some, means that he was sitting between Rav Shimon Ben Eliakim and Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. In other words, they were sitting, let's say, near each other in front of the Rebbe Rav Yochanan. So you have here Rav Shimon Ben Eliakim on one side, and you have Rav Yossi Rav Chanina right next door on the other side, and they're both sitting in front of Rav Yochanan. So Rav Shimon Ben Eliakim thinks that maybe this is the appropriate moment. And why does he think this might be the right moment for Rav Yochanan to confer smicha on Rav Yossi? Because Amar Lahu, because Rav Yochanan was unaware of something. He didn't know the answer to a question. And he was hoping that somebody would know the answer. So Rav Shimon Ben Eliakim is planning this out, that Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina would know the answer, and then he would ask Rav Yochanan to give smicha to Rav Yossi. Is anybody following all the names here? I mean, there are three names, so it's not that complicated. But what was the question that bothered the mind of Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Lahu, he turns to his Talmidim and he says, Mikam Diyod, is there anyone out there who knows the answer to the following question? Halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Olo. How do we paskin in the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Do we require Tziruf Re'iyah, meaning do the two witnesses have to have seen the Halva together? According to the Tanakhama, they do. That's a prerequisite. That's a precondition in Eidus, because it says, Vahu Eid, Adechazi Kechad. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, on the other hand, says, no. He loosens the requirement, and we don't require Tziruf Re'iyah. It could be that they didn't see it together. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in this machlokas? This is what Rabbi Yochanan asks. Maybe there's somebody out there who knows the answer. Amalei Rav Shimon ben Eliakim. Rav Shimon ben Eliakim sees this is the opportune moment to demonstrate to Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina was roi for smicha. Dane. So he says, this man, he points to Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, who's sitting right next to him. Yada, he knows the answer to your question. And if he can answer your question, because you don't know the answer of Yochanan, then certainly he deserves smicha. Again, you could always ask me, Berzon, why if he knows the answer to one simple question, does he deserve smicha? But I guess the answer to this question would indicate that Rabbi Yossi was very, very advanced. In other words, he knew everything that he had to know, and whatever Rabbi Yochanan taught, he knew, but he knew even things that Rabbi Yochanan himself did not teach him. And especially if he could derive some sort of conclusion by logical analysis, that would show how sharp he was. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim and says, Lema Ezo. Ezo means, let him tell me something. It means, let him tell me the answer to my question. So Amalei, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim is a businessman, and he says, okay, you want an answer to your question, I'll make you a deal. Lismechei mar bereisha. First give him smicha, and then after you give him smicha, then he's going to tell you how the halacha is. Now it's not clear to me if let's say Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina did not have smicha, obviously, then as a Talmud he was still begetter a Talmud. A Talmud would have a responsibility to share with his Rebbe some sort of an information. So I want to read to you the question here, the Marshal. You know, the Marshal lived about 5 centuries ago. His name is Luria. So he says, Koshali, v'chi im lo ayah Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina nismach? is Lo Haya Omer Shmua. So forget about it. What is Reb Shimon El Yochum is saying? You know what? First confer smicha, and then his statement, his answer to your question about where we paskin is going to be reliable. I don't get it, says the Marshal. Even without smicha, if the Talmud knows the answer to the question, would he not pass it on to his Rebbe? Well, why is the Rav Shimon setting it up as Gilu a Tanai Mukta? This is a precondition. First give him smicha, and then we'll rely on his Shmua and he'll tell you what he has to know. Forget about that. He's a Talmud, he's not a Musmuk, but still, I mean, he has to pass on the Torah that he knows. So the Marshal gives the following answer. Maybe we could figure this out. He says, "E efsho lismoch al kabbalaso," if he in this case means Rabbi Yossi is giving you a kabbalah, means he's telling you that I have a transmission about this question in Lalacha, then we don't rely on his transmission. Kevan she'enu samoch. So before he gives us this transmission, the Mesiras HaTorah, and what he received, and he wants to pass on what he received, then first you have to give him smicha, because once you give him smicha, and only when you give him smicha, do we rely on his Kabbalah. So therefore give him smicha first. Samche. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan did. Now, if you would ask me, I would say that's a little bit naive. I mean, you haven't even heard Rabbi Yossi's answer yet, and you're already giving him smicha. But apparently, one of two things: either Rabbi Yochanan was impressed by Rabbi Shimon that Rabbi Shimon said that he deserves smicha, or alternatively, from the perspective of the Marashal, that the Kabbalah would only be reliable if he got smicha, then he becomes part of the Chachmei Mesorah and he can transmit the Torah that he heard from his Rebbeim, and it would be reliable transmission. Rabbi Yochum was so eager to get the answer to this question, he wanted it to be a, shall I say, an authoritative answer with a Kabbalah. Kabbalah means something that he received through the Mesorah, so he was willing to give him smicha, and that's good. Okay, now he gives him smicha. Now we get to the test. Usually you test the person before a smicha, but here Rabbi Yochanan is going to test Rabbi Yossi after the smicha. Amar le. So Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rabbi Yossi and he says, "Bini, my son, and Marli, tell me, Keitzad Shamata, what exactly were you makaba? What was your shmua that you heard? And you know that the halacha is like that." So he says, Kach Shamati. So Rabbi Yossi says, here's exactly what I heard. Shemode Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha l'Rabbi Nosan, that the Edim don't require what's called Tzirf HaGadah. Again, this is the second Machlokas. Right, we want to know the answer to the question as to whether or not you require Tzirf Re'iyah. That's Machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. But what Rabbi Yossi is going to tell Rabbi Yochanan is, as far as the Seif is concerned, because again, if you remember, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was that excluded middle, you know, that he was in the twilight zone. We didn't know exactly what he would hold about the second Machlokas regarding Tzirf HaGadah. And Rabbi Yossi says, I have a Kabbalah that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha agreed with Rabbi Nosan in the second Machlokas. In other words, that Rabbi Yossi, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yossi is telling Rabbi Yochanan that just like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha drops the requirement of Re'iyah, right, Tzirif Re'iyah, he likewise drops the requirement of Tzirif HaGadah. So in other words, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is basically connected to the Shita of Rabbi Nosan. Now, we know that the halacha is like Rabbi Nosan. So if we know that the halacha is like Rabbi Nosan, then the halacha should be like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha as well. Now, Rabosa, keep in mind, these are two independent issues. Because the issue of Rabbi Nosan, and again, we know the halacha is like Rabbi Nosan, I'll explain why in a minute, is regarding Tzirif HaGadah. Do they both have to testify together? the issue of Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha in the Reisha in this Machlokes with Tanakam is about whether or not they have to see the Re'iyah together, correct? So it's, there's a very interesting jump here. There's a leap of faith, if you will, in what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Rabbi Yossi is saying that I have a tradition that Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha accepted the opinion of Rabbi Nassan as far as Tziruf Haggad is concerned. Okay, fine. That's wonderful. Great news. Let's pop open a bottle of champagne. But what does that have to do with our issue? We want to know what's the final halacha as far as Tziruf Re'iyah is concerned. So what are you telling me? Rabbi Yossi is saying that, well, you see that Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha accepted Rabbi Nassan, and if Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha is somehow tied into Rabbi Nassan, and we know the halacha is like Rabbi Nassan, so therefore we know the halacha is like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Does that make any sense? To me, it doesn't make any sense at all. I'll be honest with you. This Gemara eludes me. Now, first, let me ask the simple question is, how do we know that the halacha is like Rabbi Nassan? The more complicated question is, does that therefore tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha? But let's go through the simple question first. How do we know that the halacha is like Rabbi Nassan? So you may recall that either a day or two ago I mentioned in the name of the Shagas Aryeh that there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah about Kiddush HaChodesh and Re'iyas HaLevana, right? The Eidim have to come in and testify that they saw the new moon. And the Mishnah indicates that we can accept the testimony of one witness and then accept the testimony of the second witness, and they were completely separate. There was no Tziruf HaGadah whatsoever. And that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Nosson, and that's called the Stam Mishnah, right? Because that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah has no name to it. And whenever Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wants to indicate what the final halacha is, he leaves out the names of a machlokas, because once he mentions a name, you'll think, well, maybe that's the dissenting minority opinion. So he leaves out the names. He writes it as an anonymous mishnah to tell you that's the halacha. So we have a stam mishnah, an anonymous mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that reflects the shita of Rabbi Nosson. Now our mishnah here in Sanhedrin, you remember where we brought back them, and we didn't know who the them was. So first we thought it was we brought back the litigants, and then we finally said we brought back the Edim. But we rejected that interpretation that we brought back the Edim, because we held like Rabbi Nassan. And even though each Ed testified separately, right, because he was taken into private chambers, that's fine. We don't need a Tziruf HaGadah. But rather, when the Mishnah says we bring them back, it was referring to the litigants, and for moral reasons, we told the litigants not to be there in the courtroom during the deliberation. So we have two Mishnayos that indicate that halacha is like Rabbi Nassan. We have the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, and our Mishnah here, the way we interpreted that Mishnah, that we don't have to bring back the Edim. The Edim could go home, they're finished, because each Ed was interrogated separately. So we don't need Tziruf HaGadah, and that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Nassan. Okay, fine. Now we have Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha says that the two witnesses didn't have to see the Maisa together, and we don't need Tzir for Ear. Now, is the halacha like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha? The Tanakhama disagreed, and the Tanakhama said, well, it says for who aid, the Chazina Kechad, that we need both of them to see it like one witness, which means together. There has to be a Tzir for Ear. So how do we paskin in that machlokis? Well, here's Rabbi Yossi's argument, that if Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha accepts, that was the kabbalah that he had that Rabbi Yochanan maybe didn't have, if Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha accepts the shita of Rabbi Nassan, and we paskin like Rabbi Nassan, then we should paskin like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. That doesn't make any bit of sense. Okay, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha agrees with Rabbi Nassan, and we paskin like Rabbi Nassan, but that's a question about Tziruf HaGadah. What does that have to do with the issue of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha as to whether or not we need Tziruf Re'iyah? Doesn't make any sense. Omar, yeah, that's it. Omar, lezehu tzrachti? This was what I needed to hear? you know, I was so desperate I gave him smicha because I needed to hear this. For sure Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha holds like Rav Nosson. I don't need anyone to tell me that he had a shmua, he had a kabbalah from his Rebbeim, you know, ish mi pi ish, back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha accepted Rabbi Nosson. Hashta, I have a kal v'chomer. Uma ika re'iyah, the very fundamental element in Eidus is re'iyah. I mean, all of Eidus is predicated on re'iyah. They saw something. And Bahari Adodi, whether you need them, the two witnesses, to have a re'iyah together, Bahari Adodi means yachad. Omer Rav Yishuv ben Karcha lo be'inon, he said, we dropped the requirement of re'iyah Bahari Adodi. Is Hagadah mi boy? Do I need to raise the question about Hagadah? Do I need somebody to tell me that you don't need Siruf Hagadah? If you don't need Siruf Re'iyah, when Re'iyah is the main, shall we say, the backbone or the foundation of all of Eidus, and you still don't need Siruf, so certainly in Hagadah, which is secondary to Re'iyah, I certainly don't need Siruf. So there's no question that Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha agrees to Rabbi Nosson. But on the other hand, I don't know what Rabbi Nosson would say about Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha as far as Tziruf Re'iyah is concerned, because Re'iyah again is Ikar. That's the main foundation of all Eidus. So maybe in Re'iyah I need to make them into a Kat, but in Hagadah that's secondary. I don't have to hear the Eidus together, and then each one could give their Eidus separately. But how can you prove from the fact that the halacha is like Rabbi Nosson with regard to Tziruf Hagadah, that we don't need Tziruf Hagadah, that therefore ipso facto the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Shur ben Karcha, that we don't need Tziruf Re'iyah? It could very well be logical that when it comes to Tziruf Hagadah, we don't need Tziruf Hagadah, but when it comes to Re'iyah, which is the foundation of the Eidus, we need Tziruf Re'iyah. So what did you tell me? And at this point, Rabbi Yochanan wants to reverse his decision, and the whole thing was a bluff. The whole thing was a mistake. I conferred smicha on Rabbi Yossi, thinking that he was going to tell me something I didn't know, and he told me exactly what I knew. But that doesn't answer the question about what I don't know. He told me that Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha certainly accepts Rabbi Nosson. Okay, fine. I knew that logically. That had to be. But do we accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha? Maybe Rabbi Nosson would say, well, when it comes to Tziruf Re'iyah, which is so fundamental, and all of Eidus is built on Tziruf Re'iyah, so the foundation of all Eidus is Re'iyah, maybe here we need Tziruf Re'iyah, and even Rabbi Nosson would agree that we need Tziruf Re'iyah. However, he says, Ho'il v'alisa lo teret. Since I gave you smicha, we're going to leave it as is. I'm not going to take it back. Now, why this is so, that's what Rav Zeira is going to try to analyze here. On Rav Zeira, Shmamino, we see from this Maisa that Gavra Rabba came in Dastamich Somech, that an Odom Gadol, Gavra Rabba means an Odom Gadol, a great man, once he gets smicha, even if the smicha was given to him mistakenly, the smicha is smicha, because it's min hashamayim. This must have been part of the divine plan, divine providence, that for sure, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that this person should get smicha, then it couldn't be that God worked it out that way. If he's really not royal with smicha, he's not hogun with smicha, he must be hogun, he must be suited for smicha. That's what Rabbi Zeira derives from this whole story. But I don't know, I'll tell you the truth, today in our time, you know, there's a whole discussion about whether we could reverse smicha. You know, it's a whole different shiloh, because today what happens is that people got smicha, and then, I don't want to go into detail, but they, you know what I mean, they got involved in whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, the yeshivas want to say, oh no, we're reversing that smicha. You know, we don't want to be associated with this smicha, to say that we were the source of the smicha. But in any event, the Gemara is talking about a Gavra Rabba, and Rabbi Yossi is a Gavra Rabba, and if he got smicha from Yochanan, it must be that it was min hashamayim. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan declared, Hol v'alisa lo teret. But what I'd like to try to spend a few minutes doing is trying to understand the mindset of Rabbi Yossi. Why did he think that he had a proof that we paskin like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha based on the fact that we accept Rabbi Nosson? And it must be that halach is that we don't need seer for re'iyah, which again Rabbi Yochanan blows that away, and he says no, re'iyah is ikra edus, and it could very well be that even Rabbi Nossi doesn't require seer for agada, would require seer for re'iyah. But what was Rabbi Yossi thinking? So I have here a note in the name of the Yad Ramah, and as I've said a million times over, the Yad Ramah comes to save us, and hopefully he'll save us here, and then we'll give him smicha. Okay, nobody laughed at that, but my father used to laugh at his own jokes. I guess I'll follow in his footsteps. If no one else laughs, I'll laugh. Anyway, so let's see what the Yad Ramah is going to tell us. I'm going to read to you his holy words. He says the following. Excuse me. Legabi re'iyas ha'edim, yesh yosef svara lomar shetzorach re'iyo ke'echot. If I had... You know what, give me half a cup. Thanks so much, Don. And a half a cup, believe it or not, cools off faster than a full cup. I mean, you could believe that, right? That's not a miracle. Because I need to drink it now, but it's way too hot for me. Okay. So again, I'm just going to go over this, and when Don comes back, I'll review. He says the following. As far as Re'iyas Ha'evus is concerned, there's more of a svara, logical, compelling reason to say that we need Re'iyah Ke'echad. Why? For two reasons. One is because of what generally happens with Eidus, and the other is because of the Pasuk. He says, in general... Oh, thank you so much. Oh, great, great. That's even a bigger mitzvah here. Okay. So when do you want smicha done? Okay. All right. So again, he says, first of all, number one, he says, stam means, in general, stam means what you see as a matter of course. Re'iyas ha'edim, ro'im ha'edim ke'echad. In most cases, when witnesses come to testify, it means they saw it together. You know, it's this rare exceptional case where they came and he testified on one Ria, the other on another Ria. V'odin, furthermore, the Pasuk says v'hu eid, and we derive from that Pasuk v'hu eid that they have to see it. Eid means echad in the singular, ke'echad. He says the following. Despite these two compelling logical reasons, Sover Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha nevertheless maintains she'ein tzrichim liros ki'echad. V'im kein, v'adai for sure she'yizbor she'ein tzrichim lahoyin ki'echad sh'arei yefshel lahoyin yachad mamish. He says that the requirement of both witnesses testifying together is almost impossible logically, or you know, you can't engineer it, because if two people would speak their edus out simultaneously, we have a principle called trei koli lo mishtamoi. We can't hear two voices, so there's no question that one voice has to come before the other voice. So already, like, the seed is sown that we shouldn't require tzirif hagadah, because there really is no ultimately, ideally, an ideal, absolute tzirif hagadah. Tzirif hagadah, in an ideal sense, in an absolute sense, is by definition impossible.
Yeah, but they both could be in the court building. One comes in while the other one's outside, and vice versa. And they...
Correct. You're right. I mean, we're not denying. I mean, the whole machlokas here is whether you do need tzirif hagadah or you don't. But he's saying that it's a weak position. If you want to say we need tzirif hagadah, the burden of proof is on you, because in an absolute sense we never have tzirif hagadah. So you're already in a back, you know, you're back paddling already. You know, oh, they're in the court, they're this, talk to the neighbor. You know, you're already looking to construct, you know, a model in which there is tzirif hagadah. You have to take these edim and somehow make a tzirif hagadah out of it. An absolute tzirif hagadah we can't have. So therefore, there's more of a compelling reason to assume that we should require tzirif hagadah Tziruf Re'iyah than to require Tziruf Agada, because Tziruf Re'iyah is, then that's the normal situation of Eidus. Eidus means they both saw the same action, they come to testify. They can't testify together in a perfect sense, because Trei Kol Hilom HaShtamah, we can't hear two voices. So if we look at the way Eidus operates, you know, in terms of the physical, you know, the reality of Eidus, in most situations, you know, we could assume Tziruf Re'iyah, and if there was no Tziruf Re'iyah, that's the exceptional case, and in most cases we don't have Tziruf Agada, so now you have to work overtime, work hard to come up with Tziruf Agada, and therefore he says the following. He says, "V'chein ein lifsok, ein pasuk." Excuse me, I'm a lamed mimafurish that tzarch lahayd yachad. Remember, we had a second compelling reason why we would require tzira for ear, and that was because of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "For who aid o ra'a." So, with regard to ear, the Torah calls it one witness, meaning that they saw it together. With regard to Haggadah, we don't have any source in the Torah for tzira for Haggadah. He says maybe you have a hekesh between Haggadah and Re'iyah, but if regard to Re'iyah Atzma, Rabbi Shuben Karcha holds that we don't need Re'iyah of Shneim Kechad, so there's no basis for a source of a hekesh, right? Because the hekesh is predicated on the fact that in Re'iyah we do need Haggadah. I'm sorry, we do need Tziruf. And now we're going to equate Haggadah with Re'iyah and say that just like Re'iyah needs a Tziruf, so too Haggadah needs a Tziruf. But we're going now according to Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha. Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha doesn't require a Tziruf for Re'iyah. So if he doesn't require a Tziruf for Re'iyah, then there's no source for requiring a Tziruf Haggadah. So that there are two very compelling reason, says the Yad Ramah, why we should not require a Tziruf Haggadah. One is because the normal situation of Haggadah doesn't have Tziruf. You know, you have to work overtime to actively create a Tziruf and say, well, Halacha says if this, that, and the other thing, these are the conditions that set up Tziruf in Haggadah. But naturally speaking, we're working overtime, we don't have Tziruf Haggadah. Number two, there's no source for Tziruf Haggadah because we're holding now, like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, that Re'iyah itself doesn't need Tziruf. So if Re'iyah doesn't need Tziruf, and Haggadah has a hekesh to Re'iyah, then ipso facto Haggadah doesn't need Tziruf. So what was Rabbi Yossi thinking? Rabbi Yossi was thinking that if you would require Tziruf Re'iyah, then how much more so should you require Tziruf Haggadah? Why? Because there are two compelling reasons to require Tziruf Re'iyah. Now, one of those two compelling reasons is the drasha of a Hu Eid. But Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha rejected that drasha. So according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, we don't require Tziruf Re'iyah. He's not going to interpret V'hu Eid in that way. And you remember we had a long discussion yesterday, what does Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha do with the pasuk V'hu Eid? And the answer is the Torah wanted to be mechadish that one witness could be chayv a karban shvur because there already was a previous witness that testified, for those of you who might remember that, just to remind you. And now Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha rejects the drasha of the Tanakhama of V'hu Eid, so he doesn't require Tziruf Re'iyah. Now, we're going to accept the halacha like Rabbi Nosson. We're going to assume that Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha certainly accepts Rabbi Nosson, because again, the logic is that if in Re'iyah you don't require Tziruf Re'iyah, then certainly, then certainly you don't require Tziruf Haggadah. Okay, fine. Now we're paskening like Rabbi Nosson that you don't require Tziruf Haggadah. And here's the point. If you accept the Tanakhama as far as Tziruf Re'iyah is concerned, based on the drasha of the Hu Eid, then you could tag on the Hekesh between Re'iyah and Haggadah and derive the conclusion that Haggadah likewise would require Tziruv. Are you with me? In other words, this A plus B equals C. A is Vahu Eid. In the Tanakhama's frame of reference, they both have testified based on one single Re'iyah. Right? Achiyiru called B'yachad. B is the Hekesh between Re'iyah and Haggadah. And therefore C, just like Re'iyah requires Tziruf, so too Haggadah would require Tziruf. Comes along Rabbi Nosson, and he says Haggadah doesn't require Tziruf. It's probably so that if Rabbi Nosson doesn't require Tziruf in Haggadah, he does not require Tziruf for Re'iyah. Why? Because if he had Tziruf for Re'iyah, then he would be sort of falling into the Chachamim's trap that likewise he should require Tziruf Haggadah. So the logic now of Rabbi Yossi is that since Rabbi Yishuv ben Karchu doesn't require Tziruf Re'iyah, he accepts Rabbi Nosson that you don't require Tziruf Haggadah, it's all part of one package. That for the same reason you don't require Tziruf here, you don't require Tziruf there. Meaning if there's no Vahu Eid to teach me that you need a Tziruf in Re'iyah, then there's no basis for assuming that you need Tziruf in Haggadah. But the flip side means that if on the other hand you would need Tziruf Haggadah, then that would probably be based on the fact that you need Tziruf Re'iyah, and that's what we equate the two, the Hekesh that we said before. If we passing like Rabbi Nosson that you don't need Tziruf Haggadah, then what happens to this Hekesh between Haggadah and Re'iyah? What, Re'iyah needs Tziruf and Haggadah doesn't? What are you going to do with the Hekesh that equalizes them? But the answer is that Rabbi Nosson holds like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha that even Re'iyah doesn't require two witnesses, and we reject, I'm sorry, it doesn't require two witnesses that saw it together, and we reject the drasha of a Hu Eid. Once we reject the drasha of a Hu Eid, then we're free to assume, as we naturally would have assumed intuitively, that Haggadah doesn't require a Tziruf. So that basically, Rabbi Nosson, it's not just, here's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Rabbi Yossi is creating a two-way street. And he's saying that it's not just that Rabbi Yishuv ben Karch accepted Rabbi Nosson, but Rabbi Nosson accepted Rabbi Yishuv ben Karch. Now, why? Let me try it one more time, and then we'll rest the hatchet here. Because in Rabbi Yossi's understanding, it would not make sense, or at least it would be dochak to say that we don't require Tziruf and Haggadah, but we do require Tziruf and Re'iyah. If we require Tziruf and Re'iyah, then let's require Tziruf and Haggadah. Let's make an equation between Re'iyah and Haggadah. And that was the Hekesh from before. So therefore, the final conclusion of Rabbi Yossi was that since we understand that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha accepted the Shita of Rabbi Nosson, and we accepted the Halacha Rabbi Nosson for the reasons that we gave before Stav Mishnah, then we also accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Why? Because it's a two-way street. Not only did Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha accept the halacha of Rabbi Nosson, but Rabbi Nosson accepted the halacha of Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Because if Rabbi Nosson would accept the Tanakhama's view based on the drasha of Ahu Eid and we required Tziruf Re'iyah, then let's activate the Hekesh and equate Haggadah with Re'iyah. So the very fact that Rabbi Nosson, and we accept Rabbi Nosson, does not require Tziruf in Haggadah means that there was no basis for a derivation that Haggadah would require Tziruf. And what was the basis that could have been a basis for that requirement of Tziruf in Haggadah? It was Tziruf in Re'iyah. Well, there is no basis. We take the rug out of under the thing. So there's no Tziruf Re'iyah, no requirement of Tziruf Re'iyah as well.
So what does Hu'eid mean then? How do you
So the Hu'eid means that if I demand testimony from you, I can be mashbia you, because I know you have testimony, even though your testimony is not relevant, but the answer is I have another aid. So I already have one witness in my pocket, he's already testified, he's You know, he's registered in Beis Din. Now I need desperately one other aid. I know that you have that testimony. I can be mechayev you a karbon by being mashbiyah you. So that was the Pasha Shavuos Eidus that we spoke about yesterday.
So the Yad Ramah is saying that the Tanakama is then correct?
Again, if you just want to summarize the Yad Ramah, he's saying according to, again, if I had the blackboard, I would write Rabbi Yossi, put a line under Rabbi Yossi, and then I would write, in explaining the Yad Ramah's understanding Rabbi Yossi, that once I paskin that you don't need Siruf in Haggadah, then it means you don't need Siruf in Re'iyah. It's a two-way street. If you accept Siruf in Re'iyah, then you're going to use a Hekesh, based on your understanding, again, these are the details with the footnotes on the bottom. Re'iyah needs Siruf because the Hu Eid means Siruf Re'iyah. If you accept that, then we have a Hekesh between Haggadah and Re'iyah, and Haggadah likewise would require Siruf.
Okay.
The flip side, says Rabbi Yossi, is if you don't accept the Hu Eid the way the Tanakhama saw it, and you don't accept that we require a Siruf in Re'iyah, now there's no basis to assume that you need Siruf and Haggadah. So if I paskin like Rabbi Nassim that you don't need Siruf and Haggadah, then ipso facto it means you don't need Siruf and Re'iyah. So the bottom line of Rabbi Yossi is that there is an equation between Re'iyah and Haggadah. If you have that bottom line, you have it all. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and he says, you're pulling the wool over my eyes. This is not true. Why? Because since we have compelling reasons, two of them, as to require, like the Tanakhama does in fact require Siruf Re'iyah, it could very well be that Rabbi Nassan is not willing to accept Siruf Haggadah, because in Siruf Haggadah we don't have any of those compelling reasons, not A nor B. A, B, it's not natural to assume that there is Siruf Haggadah, and B, there's no pasuk to establish Siruf Haggadah, and forget about the Hekesh. That's Rabbi Yochanan. But again, you know, once he got smicha, we're not going to take it away from him. Okay, now the Gemara continues and asks, how do we paskin halacha between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Because, as we said before, in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference, the fact that we paskin like Rabbi Nassan in the second machlokas regarding Haggadah doesn't prove a thing as to how we paskin in the first machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha regarding Re'iyas Eidus. Because in Re'iyas Eidus there are two compelling reasons to require Siruf. On Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Now, this is very calming, you know, this is sort of soothing, because Rabbi Yossi got smicha, and that was part of a divine plan that he should get smicha. So there must be some compelling logic to Rabbi Yossi's position. And Rabbi Yossi was the one who said exactly what we're seeing here, that we passed like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. I mean, he saw it because we linked up Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha with Rabbi Nassan. Fine. Now the Gemara wants to know, Eidus in Dine Momenus divides into two. There's what's called Eidus Karka and Eidus Metaltelin. Karka is real estate, Metaltelin are so called movables. Okay. Now, the Gemara thinks that if you want to know whether or not there's a requirement of Siruf Re'iyah like the Tanakhama, or you drop it like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, then it makes more sense that in the case of Metaltelin, I need Siruf Re'iyah. Why? Because if one aid saw one halva is called metaltelin, and another aid saw a different halva, they're really testifying on two different things entirely. You follow what I mean? In other words, let's say you sign a check, right? So the check that was given on Sunday has all those numbers on the bottom. It's a different check than the check that was given on Monday. So if the Malva was lending on both Sunday and Monday, those are two Cheftes Shel Mama. Those are two different objects that are of value, if you follow what I mean. You know, so here you would say that in order to define or accept these two witnesses as a unit of Eidus, as a Kat, you need Siruf. They have to both be testifying on the same Metaltlon, on the same Mama. But not so in the case of Karka. In Karka, Siruf Re'iyah is much less important because the Karka is set. You know, it's not something you can move around. So no matter what testimony or what event you witnessed that would prove that this Karka belongs to so-and-so, all these different events are just simply different methods of giving us evidence that that piece of real estate belongs to so and so. So, you know, let's say 1-8 says on Sunday I heard this claimant admit that the karka belongs to Reuven, and now another 8 comes in on Monday. He says, well, on Monday I saw Reuven sign a document that it belongs to. You know, whatever evidence comes in, it's all based on, it's all directed towards one goal, and that is to answer the question, who owns the karka? Mashenkin and Alva situation, there are so many different elements here, but basically we want to know about the Alva itself. And you're talking here two Eidim that are testifying on two different Alvos. So this is going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Chia and Ula. Rabbi Chia is going to tell us that we passing like Rabbi Shuman Karach, we don't need Seir for Iyah, Bain Beidus Karka, U Bain Beidus Metaltalit. So let's say, for example, in Karka, one witness says that on Sunday I heard the Tovea admit that this Karka belongs to so and so. The other aide says on Monday I heard him confess, admit that this karka belongs to that same so-and-so. So we can be mitzarif the two Eidim, even though they're testifying on two different actions. One was an Hodah of Sunday, the other was Hodah of Monday, but they're all testifying on the same karka. That's number one. Now we have Eidus Metaltalin, which it means that one aide testifies on Alvah that took place on Sunday, the other aide testifies on Alvah that took place on Monday. They're not testifying on the same Alvah. Comes along Rabbi Chi and he says, nevertheless, we pass like Rabbi Shuman Karcha. There's an absolute rule. We don't require Tziruf Re'iyah. And these are two different Alvos. Doesn't matter. We can mitzarif them to Mechayiv the Nitba one mana, right? Each aid testified on Alvah of one mana. And the common denominator is one single mana. Ula Amar, not like Rabbi Chia, Halachik Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, we are mitzarif Eidim even without Tziruf Re'iyah, but Dafka only be Eidus Karkos. When they're both testifying on the same Karka, then we accept Rabbi Shua ben Karcha that we have a Tziruf even though there were two different Hodahs. One Hodah of Sunday, the other Hodah of Monday, but they're all being modeh on one karka. Avalo bim metaltalin. Why? Because they're talking about two different obligations. There was one obligation that was incurred by virtue of alva, a loan that took place on Sunday, and another obligation by virtue of a loan that took place on Monday. There's no common denominator to the two adios as far as the Maisa Shahoya is concerned. So again, in Karka, we accept Rabbi Shimon Karach, the adios is on the Karka. And if we can combine two witnesses, each of whom is testifying that this Karka is owned by so-and-so, then that's a tziruf. We have the Karka to be mitzarif the two adios. But a metaltalin on two alvos, they're clearly describing two different machayvim, two different actions. Each one is machayv, whatever that alva was. So again, just to summarize, Rav Chia Bar Ovin takes the extreme absolute view of of halachic Rav Yishuv ben Karcha, which means there's no such thing as tzira for ear. There's no requirement of tzira for ear. Again, we're talking about Dini Mamonos. Like, I always remind you that the laws are going to change when we get to capital cases, Dini Nefashos. But in Dini Mamonos, we accept the halacha like Rav Shuman Karcha straight across the board. There's no din of tzir for ear. Ula comes along and he says, no. There is a requirement of tzir for ear if the two re'ios are two different machayvim. In other words, the chiyuv moment, like, I'll give you an example. Let's say that there's a lawsuit between Reuven and Shimon. 1A testifies that Shimon has to pay because he damaged Reuven's property. The other A testifies that Shimon has to pay because he borrowed money from Reuven. They're totally two different machayvim. One is the machayv of Mazik, the other machayv is Milva. And even if they would both, if both these A would testify on Halva, but one is testifying on Halva on Sunday and the other on Halva on Monday, those are two separate machayvim. Each Halva stands independent on its own. So how can you even tzarif the two A? We require tzir. Ay, halacha Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, correct, who doesn't require tziruv. The answer is, he's talking about karka. Karka is a whole different story. In karka, we're not talking about a maisa. We're not talking about an action. So I'll tell you, Rabosa, where I get confused here. Maybe you could help me out. Even in the case of metaltalin, you could have two different re'ios on the same metaltalin. So let's say, for example, there is how do you say it in English? A sikhsuk, an argument. There's an argument in Beis Din between two litigants about a pearl necklace. You could have one aid that proves that this necklace belongs to, we'll call him Reuven, and another aide that proves that this necklace belongs to Reuven, but they're testifying on two different days. Meaning, one aide says, I heard him admit that this necklace belongs to Reuven on Sunday. The other says, I heard him on Monday. Each aide was on a different day, but they both heard him. They both heard him admit that this necklace belongs to so and so. So why is that different than karka? Now I admit that if they're testifying on halvos, so one aide says there was an exchange of money, a loan that was sent on Sunday. The other says, well, I saw a loan on Monday. So those are two different machayvim. You know, if you ask him why he's chayv to pay it back, is one is because that money and the other is the other money. But you could have a case of metaltalin where you could have two witnesses that are testifying on the same metaltalin. How is it different than karka?
Because in the case of real estate, the real estate's there, doesn't move any place. So if he's saying this real estate, and the other guy said on a different day, he also said, I heard him say that this real estate belongs to Reuven, it's the same real estate. On the other hand, a necklace, there's no guarantee that it is the same necklace. Maybe it looks so like it, so how can you prove that it's exactly that necklace? The loan is a little bit more iffy. So I think what he's saying here is, with real estate, we can absolutely accept Ben Karcha. But right. In the case of movable property, you can't accept it in all cases.
Oh, that's right. I like that. You know, I don't know if it's true, but... right, but I like it a lot. You know, maybe the rejection, Ula's rejection of Rabbi Shuman Karcha in the case of Metal is not an absolute in all cases. I cannot accept Rabbi Shuman Karcha because there's no tzirif here in metaltalin. Maybe there are cases where there would be tzirif in metaltalin. You know, if let's say, you know, this, you know, in Hilchas Hashavas Aveda, there's something called Simon, right? If I can give you an identification mark, and if there's only a vikuach here about one particular necklace, you know, that has a very unique this, that, and the other thing, then maybe that would be a tzirif like karka. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye turns to Ula. And he says the following: Halacha, your statement, Ula, was that halacha k'Rav Yishuv ben Karcha michlal de pligi. This is a classical Talmud Bavli, that whenever you see the word halacha, which means we paskin like, it implies that there is a machlokes. I don't get it. V'omar Rabbi Abba, Omar of Huna, Omar Rav, Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Yossi Ben Karcha, Rabbi Shu Ben Karcha Be'edus Karka. Meaning, according to this tradition, which takes us all the way back up to Rav, there is no machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shu Ben Karcha with regard to Karka. And the reason for that is because in the case of Karka, we have a natural tziruf. We don't need a tziruf for Ia. These two Adam heard different things on different days, but they're all testifying on one Karka, so that's a built-in tziruf. And the Tani, we have the same conclusion from Rav Idi Bar Ovin Bin Ezekin Debei Karna. Now, Mesechta Nezikin, there are many different Mesechtos in Nezikin, but the Brisos of this Mesechta of all of Mesechta Nezikin were taught in the Beis Medrash by someone named Karna. I always was wondering about his strange name, Karna. Karna means a horn. Not sure why you would call a person by that name, but anyway, maybe it means Karen Yisrael or something. Anyway, so there was a chacham now by the name of Karna, and he taught us all the brises in Masechta Nezikin. And Rav Idi Bar Ovin came from that Beis Medrash. There was Karna's Beis Medrash. That was the place to go to Nezikin. You know, it's like, you know, somebody might argue that, you know, the best school for engineering is MIT, what?
Technion.
Technion, I meant in America. Oh. You know, I was thinking of, what's that place in the West?
MIT. Caltech.
Not Caltech. Anyway, there's another famous university in California. Forgot the name.
Stanford.
So somebody may say it's Stanford, but anyway, you have known universities where that's the place to go if you want to get the expertise on this discipline. So in the discipline of Nezikin, you know, the best place to get the final answer is Karna's Beis Medrash. Imagine we should open a yeshiva called Karna's Beis Medrash. And Rav Idi Bar Ovin was a student in that Beis Medrash, and what did he hear? In that Beis Medrash, he heard that Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Yoshua Ben Karcha B'Edus Bechar. Okay, we'll get back to Edus Bechar, but the next thing on his list is B'Edus Karka, and the third thing on his list is Edus Chazaka. In any event, before we get into Edus Bechar and Edus Chazaka, let's just talk for a moment about Edus Karka. What he's saying is that the Chachamim who required Tziruf Re'iyah admit that in the case of Karka, you don't require Tziruf Re'iyah. And each aide could come and testify about a different, let's say, Hodah, on a different day that he heard from the person who's on trial, you know, one of the plaintiffs, regarding a Hodah, this piece of Karka. So we have a built-in Tziruf. So the words of Abaye, Amalei Abaye, Halacha, Kirav Yeshua Ben Karcha Bekarka. I'm sorry, the words of Ula I meant to say. Halacha, Kirav Yeshua Ben Karcha Bekarka. Those words are misleading because they imply that there was a machlokas about Karka. There never was a machlokas about Karka. Now let's talk a little bit about Edus Bechar. Sorry, just one. Okay, we don't have too much time. I'll just wrap this up very quickly. Edus Bechar has to do with what's called Bechar Behema Tahora. So the firstborn animal, if it's a Behema Tahora, a kosher animal, has to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Bechar. But if there's a mum, if there's some sort of a blemish in the animal, then it's completely excluded from the Mizbeach. That's called Psui HaMikdashim. So now, a mum fell in the animal. It was natural. It didn't happen through any human intervention. And one witness testifies that this mum fell in the animal. Another witness testifies that this mum fell in the animal. So we have two witnesses who are both testifying on this mum. Okay, then, so Bulineder will pick that up. We'll pick that up tomorrow. But again, we see here clearly that as far as Eidus Karka is concerned, there was never a machlokas. Don, can I just borrow your pencil?
Sure.
Well, thank you. I'll just make a little note here as to where we got up to. Yeah, I don't know. John, do you know anything about Asher? We haven't seen him in a while.